Thank you, Brian. The scripture is on page 326 in the New Testament portion of the Bible. Page 326, 2 Peter 1, 3 to 8. And I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, so it'll be a little bit different from what you're reading in the Bible. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Thus he has given us, through these things, his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape the corruption that is in the world because of lust and may become participants of the divine nature. For this reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that ends the scripture reading, so the children are dismissed. I'm going to start right again with our scripture, and I'm going to start with the verses 3 and 4. And I'm going to summarize it. God has given us everything needed for life and godliness. Thus, he has given us his precious and very great promises so that you and me, all of us, become participants of the divine nature. Wow. Then I go to John 1, 1 to 4. And this is a familiar scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Now, the phrases I want to point out from Peter and from John is, from Peter, become participants of the divine nature. And from John, the life was the light of all people. Now, you know, Quakers go back a long way, and George Fox is considered the founder of Quakerism. And about 360 years ago, he said, he didn't say he wrote it, but he probably said it too. I want to be accurate, but you know, I read it. I didn't hear it. I brought them all to the Spirit of God in themselves, by which they might know God and Christ and all the scriptures and the scriptures, and to have heavenly worship in the Spirit, and showed them how everyone that comes into the world was enlightened by Christ the life. So the phrase there is, everyone that comes into the world was enlightened by Christ the light. So we got Peter, we got John, and we even got a more modern person, George Fox, talking about this light that is within us. And you know, Quakers talk about that of God within us. That's what we're talking about. So after recognizing that we have the light of God within us, what is the result? We go along happily. Unfortunately, that's not it. If we go back to verses 5 and 8 of 2 Peter, we get the result. For this reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with God, with love. So according to Peter, the result of the indwelling of God is goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. These goals are good, but they're very general. We can go forth from here and feel good, but I want to be more specific. I think that these are goals and these are what's. This is what we want to be like. These are our goals. But I want to share some hows today. And there are lots of hows. And I'm going to just share one set of hows. And I'm using the Alternatives to Violence Project hows. And the heart of AVP is the recognition that at the core of every person is a power, and it's called transforming power. I mean, it's the divine. It's a power that you cannot use, but it can use you. You can't turn it off and on. And it's not just in you, but it's in all of us. It changes you more than anyone else, actually. I mean, when you think of alternatives to violence, it's about changing you. And, okay, I have the very bad habit of being an old school teacher that always wanted to look everybody in the eye. So I'm constantly turning around and turning around for the mic, so I'll try to be better. Anyway, let me give you a story of transforming power. And it's a simple story. Some of you will remember Debbie. Debbie was a young woman in our meeting who in her 20s had breast cancer. And then she got healed from that. And she was in her early 40s when she got bone cancer. And at this point, she was in a wheelchair. And some of us in this meeting used to go over to Antioch, where she lived, and pick her up and take her for treatment. One day, I went to pick up Debbie, and you know, this was over about 20 years ago. And we did not have cell phones. The most advanced thing we had in our homes was these wireless phones. I mean, you could have a phone in your house and you could carry it around and it didn't have wires on it. That was about as advanced as we were. Anyway, we came out of the house. You know, she locked the door. And we went on to my car, and I opened my car door, and she could stand up and hold on to the car door and maneuver herself into the front seat, and then we would go off. But that day, she got to the car door, and she held on to it, but she could not move. And I was afraid that she would fall. I was afraid that I couldn't take the chance of grabbing her and maneuvering her. So I said to Debbie, hold on. I see that next door there's a car in the driveway, so somebody is home. I will go and get that person. And she said to me, don't do that. Call 911. Call 911, because that guy is really crabby. He works at night, and he's not a good neighbor. Well, But I knew that I would have to scrounge through her purse, find the key, open up the door, then find the phone, and it would take much longer. And then I'd have to wait for 911 to come. So I ran next door and knocked on the door real loud, and the guy came out. I guess I woke him up, and I said, I need help. Debbie needs help. And he came out, and he could see Debbie holding on to my car door. And so he came over. He helped Debbie get in the front seat and, you know, close the door. He got the wheelchair, folded it up, and put it in my car trunk. And as he left, he said, anytime Debbie needs help, you come get me. I will be glad to help in any way. I mean, there's that transforming power. It wasn't anything with bright lights or halo or anything, but we were able to, and he was able, and so transforming power worked. So that of God in everyone, that's transforming power. And so here are the hows. And I have them on a little card if you want them afterwards. So here are the guides to transforming power. Seek to resolve conflict by reaching common ground. Reach for something in others that seeks to do good for self and others. There is that in everybody that does has that. Listen. Everyone has made a journey. Try to understand where the other person is coming from before you make up your mind. Base your position on truth. Since people tend to seek truth, no position based on falsehood can long prevail. Be ready to revise your position if you discover that it is not fair. When you are clear about your position, expect to experience great inner power to act on it. A response that relies on this power will be courageous and without hostility. Do not expect that this response will automatically ward off danger. If you cannot avoid risk, risk being creative rather than violent. Surprise and humor may help transform. Learn to trust your inner sense of when to act and when to withdraw. Work towards new way of overcome injustice. Be willing to suffer suspicion, hostility, even persecution if necessary. Be patient and persistent in the continuing search for justice. Help build community based on honesty, respect, and caring. Now, these are specific enough to hold ourselves accountable. And if we do this, we can reach for that goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. You know, we are living in extraordinary times. And we think we have to be extraordinary people to have effect or to do something. Well, actually, we don't. We do not need to be extraordinary, because it's God in us who is extraordinary. And he is the transforming power. I read an ad in a birding magazine, and I've been thinking about this part of the ad. And it said, it might be hard to believe that one person feeding birds in their yard can restore the balance of nature. but it's true. Because in nature, everything is connected and everything matters. And in God, everything is connected. God cares, and God is in charge. And I end with a quote from John Lewis, our civil rights activist. You have to allow yourself to be used.